Second Timothy, if you would, please. In chapter 2, this morning, as we'll read a portion of Scripture today for our text, if you'll read the even verses with me, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Second Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." This morning I'd like to talk to you about something that I know a little bit about, and some of the folks also in this room know a little bit about. And that's about being a good soldier. I had the privilege of serving in the United States Navy. 1996 to 2000, and I call it a privilege. I think that serving in our country's military is a wonderful thing. And for those of you, my brothers, that likewise served, thank you very much. It meant a lot to me to serve my country, and I know it meant a lot to you as well. And there are many that we remember on Memorial Day of those and Veterans Day, those that gave their lives in service of our nation. And you know, it's no small thing that the Christian life is compared to being a soldier. It's a privilege. It's an honor to get to serve in the Lord's army, if you will. And I'd rather be called the Lord's Navy, but that's okay. We can tease. There are good men that have served in the Air Force and in the Army. Coast Guard is, you know, they're just puddle pirates, so we don't really call them military. They are Department of Transportation, but I guess we do love them anyways. No, we do. That's all right. I like to tease. I have a pastor friend that was in the Coast Guard. I tease him all the time. But here we see that there's something about not just being a soldier, but something about being a good soldier. A good soldier. And it is being written here to Timothy by the hand of Paul that in verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I got to thinking about some things that when I went through boot camp and as I entered into the service of our country. And what made a soldier a good soldier? And what made a soldier an average soldier? Or a bad soldier, for that matter? And there are some things and some elements, and those elements are not far from what makes a Christian a good soldier, or an average soldier, or a bad soldier in the army of our Lord. But the point is that all of us, I know inside of you somewhere, deep down inside, nobody wants to hear, "Thou wicked and slothful soldier." All want to hear, "Thou good and faithful." And yes, I know it says servant in Matthew. Okay, I understand. I just slight alteration there. Okay, I'm not changing the word of God. It's okay. Right? Who wants to hear wicked and slothful? No one. Who wants to hear good and faithful? Indeed. He says there are some elements here that are critical in making a good soldier. Defining what a good soldier is. How to be a good soldier in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." One of the things in boot camp that we go about doing is strengthening the soldiers. Exercise, PT, cadences, drills, push-ups, pull-ups, day after day after day, morning, noon, and night, and midnight, in the middle of the night, anytime. Okay? I used to go around marching and singing cadences, some of which I cannot sing here. Okay? Obvious, for obvious reasons. But you understand, we would go through and in the heat of the day, in the cold of the night, or however it was, raining, sunshine, didn't matter. It was PT time. That's physical training, by the way, if you don't know what that means. It was time to get strong. Hey, listen, I went to boot camp. I'm not a bodybuilder of any type. You understand that? I went to boot camp at 150 pounds, okay, which is light for a six-foot frame, you could say. I got out of boot camp 160 pounds, and it wasn't because I got fat. I finally got a little muscle. That was kind of nice. It was. And he said, where did it go? I don't know. It's gone. But listen, no, in eight weeks of boot camp, they'll do that to you. It's good for you. It's good to have strong soldiers. I mean, how'd you like an army full of weak soldiers? Huh? No, you won't have that army very long. Okay? Honestly and truly. But listen to what he says. He says, be strong, but not in the physical strength. God's not looking for a bunch of, you know, He-Man muscle-building soldiers. He's looking for soldiers that are strong in the right elements. But nevertheless, he wants them to be strong. So let's look at some of these things that we can do to be a good soldier. He says here, first of all, that we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Oh yes, God's grace. His unmerited favor toward us. We did not deserve salvation. You know what a soldier needs to be? He needs to be saved. And he needs to be strong in his salvation. Hey, listen, do you have assurance of your salvation? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again? Huh? Hey, those of you that have been in the military, how would you like to be next to someone who is in doubt whether or not they want to serve their country? Huh? You're on the front lines, bullets whizzing past your head, and your buddy here gets second thoughts. I'm not sure I want to give my life for this country. I'm out of here. See, that doesn't happen. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. How'd you like to be in a foxhole with someone who's having second thoughts about serving their country? You've got to be strong as a soldier. You've got to be strong. And we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in our salvation. Our salvation is what makes us strong. Because in our weakness, we cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Hey, we're saved by His power, not our own. We are strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Most of the time, the focus on Ephesians 6 is, of course, on children and obeying the Lord and servants being obedient to their masters. And then, of course, a lot of people skip down to the armor of God. And certainly we could talk about that for much of the time today, equipping a soldier. But I'm going to talk about the soldier himself. But look at verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, when it says to be strong as soldiers, it's not physical strength. It's not mental strength. It is putting our strength in the Lord. Being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might.
You know, doesn't the Bible tell us that when we are weak, He is strong?
When we give over ourselves to Him, His strength can show through in our lives. You know, in the training of a soldier, they teach you to rely on your training. When you get into situations, they teach this in the police force as well. When you get into situations, your mind doesn't have time to process information. It just does what it's been trained to do. That's why you go through the things that you go through. That's why you go through the drills. That's why you go through the training, so that you're prepared. You know what? When we revert to Jesus Christ and He is our default, we're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If we have our flesh as the default, we're going to be weak. Because the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that's true. We cannot do anything in our own strength. It is in the strength of our Lord that we can be strong and be a good soldier. Let's look at some examples of this. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Go to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to be using our Bibles this morning. It's good to use your Bible. Amen? I promise you, the Bible has better things to say than I do. Joshua chapter 1. Look what God tells Joshua. And look at the conditions of the strength that comes in Joshua's life. We understand that God put Joshua in charge after the death of Moses. That's found in verse 1. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Is this Joshua's strength? No. Not Joshua's strength. This is the strength of God through Joshua. He says, "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous." "That thou do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Hey, good soldiers got to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Transition period here in the leadership of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." Yeah. "Show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies." Sounds like Joshua, doesn't it? Yeah. "As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever
thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Be strong. What happened to Solomon? At the end, he turned his heart away from, his wives turned away his heart from God. He left the Lord, following his own wisdom instead of God's wisdom. And he failed. We don't have to have that end, folks. We need to be strong in the Lord. God wants us to be strong. I mean, why would a king want a weak army? You know what strengthens an army? When the leader leads. He's leading, folks. And if we're strong in the power of his might, we will be strong. If we're strong in our own might, in our own flesh, we will be weak. Because we won't be following him and his strength. You see, it's the strength of God that sustains the soldier. How many times have you heard stories of a valiant leader leading the charge? Right? And you see how that rallied the troops as they saw their leader going before them in battle. I mean, time after time. Where do those soldiers get that strength from? From their leader. From the one they were looking to for direction and guidance. Where are we supposed to be looking? Looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Christ Jesus. We're looking to him. We're drawing our strength from him. And as a good soldier, we can go forward. Over and over again in Scripture, it talks about being strong in the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 15, in Isaiah 35, in Haggai chapter 2, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Over and over again, the people of God are told to be strong in their God. Today, Christian, if we're going to be a good soldier, we've got to be strong in our God. He's got to be the source of our strength. He's got to be the source of our power and our might. Not ourselves, but him. To be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know this chapter is what's called the Hall of Faith, right? All the heroes of the faith that succeeded. Why did they succeed? Because of God. They succeeded because they believed God. And they followed God. Therefore, they were counted faithful. Not to their own strength, but in his strength. Look at verse 34. Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about these men. If you look at verse 32, you see Gideon and Barak and David and Samuel and all the prophets. And it says in verse 33, whose faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Why? Because of their God. Because of their weakness, they were made strong through the Lord. They were. Every time. You see, these heroes of the faith had one thing in common. They were strong in their God. Likewise, believer, if we're going to be a good soldier, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes to Timothy and says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 2.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the qualifications of a pastor is to be apt to teach. A pastor is a leader of God's people. You know what God needs? He needs leaders. You know what a good soldier is? A good soldier is a leader. He's a leader. You know what makes a good leader? A good leader is a good follower. Doesn't Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? He says, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. He says, hey, I'm a leader. I'm Paul, the great apostle. He didn't say that, right? But was he? Yes, what made him great? He was strong in his Lord, and he was a leader. And he was a good leader because he was a good follower. Hey, good leaders are good followers. And if we're going to be a good soldier, we've got to be a good leader. We've got to be able to teach others also. Can you tell someone why you believe what you believe? Can you, if you're in the military and you're willing to die for your country, wouldn't it be nice if the guy next to you was willing to die for his country too? And the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy? And how about the divisions of recruits that come after you, and come after you, and come after you? You know why they bring some of these guys in to be drill instructors? Because they're good leaders. They're good soldiers. They're good examples to others. You know, we need to be, as a believer in Christ, a good leader. A good follower. A good example to others. Showing to the generations to come the works of our God. Showing to them the way to live, how to do things, how to go about things, to be a good example and a good witness of Jesus Christ and His ways. He told Timothy, you heard from me, I heard from God, you heard from me, and you need to teach others also. We need to pass this thing on. Hey, moms and dads, don't you want your kids to know what's right to do? Aren't you concerned about passing it on from generation to generation? Or do you just want to be like some and just give your kids over to somebody else to do it for you? Well, be careful with that. Be careful to whom you give your children. Well, be careful. Unfortunately, a lot of our folks, and you may not like this, but I'm saying it anyways, have given their kids over to the public school system. Be careful. Be careful. Hey, listen. There is a difference of philosophy. Overall, in general, the public school system, it's all about man. It's all about man. What have they done? They've kicked God out of schools. You're ridiculed and persecuted if you want to pray or read your Bible in the public school. God is no part. They're rewriting our history, folks. And what I'm saying today is not popular, but I don't care. It's the truth. You go look at their history books. They're rewriting history. Hey, they're trying to change science by telling us that being of an alternate lifestyle is genetic. Hogwash. It's a choice. And the Bible calls it sin. I'm not afraid to say that. It's the truth. Hey, they say that we came from some primordial ooze that turned into a monkey, that turned into a man. To be fair, that's a theory. It's called the theory of evolution, not the fact of evolution. Hey, listen, folks. We're in a battle today. We've got to be able to teach people to be a good soldier, to pass it on from generation to generation, why we believe what we believe. Are you able to give an answer to any man that asketh of the hope that is within you? Can you tell someone why you know that you know that you know you're saved? Can you? Can you tell them why this is the Word of God?
Can you tell them why we believe in a creator God that created things in a literal 6 days and on the seventh day he rested? Can you tell them those things? Can you tell them why we believe that Jesus Christ was God's perfect Son sent here to this earth to live a perfect life, to be a sacrifice, and to rise again from the dead to pay for our sin? Can you tell them those things? Can you teach others also? Being committed to teach to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, we were talking about Joshua. At the end of his life, go to Joshua 24. I love this passage of scripture. What a challenge. What a leader. At the beginning, he was commanded that this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Did Joshua have good success? Yes, he did. And at the end of his life, in verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is that brought us up, our fathers, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out the people. Hey, they remembered. And Joshua in verse 19 said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. You know, I know Josh is a good leader because he was poking them right there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said, yeah. Really? Really? You mean it? You mean it? Yes, we do. Hey, why do you think Jesus, after dealing with Peter, said three times, lovest thou me? Yay, Lord, thou. I mean, he was poking Peter. He's poking him. Hey, are you sure? Are you sure? Hey, listen, being in the classroom for the last 15 years, teaching young people, if I ever look at a class and say, now, do you all understand? Come on, teachers. They all go like this. And 75% of them should be like this. So what do? I poke them. Ask them questions. I give them quizzes and tests. And I grade with a red pen and I mark it wrong. Everyone's not a winner. Let me get on that soapbox for a while. Everyone doesn't deserve a trophy. Okay, I'll get off that. Oh, I'm sick, so sick of that today. Oh, but be a leader. Be a leader. Go to Titus chapter 2. Paul loved encouraging these preacher boys. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, that's where it is. Right after Timothy, of course, where we are, 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2, look at verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Wow. That's a leader. And a leader is a teacher. A leader is a good follower, and a leader is a teacher. As a good soldier, we need to be strong, and we need to be a leader. Flip back over one page there, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Or some Bibles might be two pages. Mine is just one page. Look what he says in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. I had the privilege of a couple of our men coming with us to the men's conference this weekend. Dr. Smith talked about storms. You know, the Bible says that trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. Storms are going to come in your life. It's not if, it's when. It's when they come. You know what? If we lived in a place like New Orleans or on an island or on the East Coast, a lot of things will be built and done to our buildings and such to prepare for hurricanes. Okay? Thankfully, we don't have to worry about that much here, okay? We do get some flooding and rain and such sometimes. If we lived up in Kansas or Oklahoma, in that area, you'd build things to withstand tornadoes. Okay, now I guess one kind of came through here a couple of years ago. All right, I understand that. But that's not often the case, is it? I mean, sometimes. But why? Because people prepare for things. You know, after the great fire in Chicago, they built their buildings a little differently. Yeah. Over in California, what do they prepare for? Earthquakes. Yes. And I'll refrain from any poor comments about the fault lines in California and the sea right next to it and things like that. But that's okay. Don't they though? Yeah. Why? To prepare. To be ready. To endure hardness. You know, something to be said of endurance. I in high school, in junior high, was a long distance runner. You know, long distance running is not about speed. It's about endurance. For practice, throughout the summer and the fall, even in the winter and spring, we would run and run and run and run. 10 miles a day. Yeah, I've got a lot of miles on these knees. They get stiff when I drive a long distance. We would run. Why would we do that? Endurance. Endurance. See, sprinters don't need endurance. I mean, they fly for 10, 15 seconds and they're done. They get to rest. I've got to run for 15, 16, 20 some minutes. Depends on the race, the length of the race. It's a long time to run. It's endurance. Doesn't Paul speak of things of athletics and races and about endurance? You know, Christian life's not a sprint. Don't be just a flash in the pan that poof, you're done. No, it's a race. She says, run with patience the race that is set before us. That's endurance. You know, soldiers need to have endurance. Soldiers go through hard times. On the front lines of a battlefield, in close quarters, poor conditions. I mean, if you think MREs are good, you're wrong. Okay, they'll sustain you, but they're not good. Nobody says, oh, yay! Okay, I mean, they're thankful to have them, I promise, because there's nothing else. But don't kid yourself, they're not good. I don't see anybody ordering, you know, 70,000 MREs and just, hey, okay, what are we having for supper? I don't know. Powdered potatoes and freeze-dried macaroni and cheese, you know, whatever. They're not good. They'll sustain you. Bad conditions. You know, you go back and read in history some of these stories about World War II and World War I and other wars and things, Vietnam, Korea, whatever. Poor conditions. Poor conditions. Sometimes soldiers get captured, go through torture, starvation, being malnourished and mistreated, having to endure, only giving name, rank, and serial number, to not give away a position of their troops or protect their brothers in arms. That's hardness. You know, the Bible says we have an adversary. He's the devil. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for that weak link in the army to get through the front lines. He's looking for that place in the front lines where he can kind of cut through or pierce or create a bulge in the lines and push them back. We've got to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Go to Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul, we've spoken of, in his resume, if you will. But I want you to look what he says here. In verse 19, "...to serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go abound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." It's said of Jesus Christ that he set his face as a flint going to the cross. Remember in prayer, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in agony. And Father, not my will, but thine be done. He endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Folks, today, I tell you, if we're going to be a good soldier, we've got to do these things. You know, when Paul says to Timothy in verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ," he wasn't talking about just enduring hardness. He started with being strong. Being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And he said, you need to be able to teach others these things. And you need to endure hardness. If we're going to be a good soldier, we've got to have these characteristics. And if you think about the men and women in the military, or the men and women in our public services, our first responders, our firefighters, our police officers, they have to have these qualities as well. So if they can do it, so can we. Don't we serve a greater power than a city or a community or a country? We're commanded to be good soldiers.